And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma, and we have Captain Brandon Hayward from Bite Sport Fishing here and the Bite Journal, don't forget, too. So we're going to be talking some great magazines. We're going to be talking some great fishing and a lot of knowledge here in our studio. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app. Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure-ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third-row power-fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin-panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. What a great show. Today's going to be good day, good fishing. It's about to be on.
Yes, indeed. We have Captain Brandon Hayward here from Bite Sport Fishing and the Bite Journal.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so time on the water. That's what Brandon does.
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome. Yeah, I try to have been fishing a lot this winter. There's three of us that run the boats, and a lot of people call and they say, you know, we want to go with you. When are you going? But it's not just one person in one boat like it was when I first started with the Arima with one-person charters, which was 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. But this winter has been, dare I say, the best winter fishing we've had. The lobster fishing's been pretty close to incredible. Limits every trip but one.
Wow.
And that big yellowtail that you got to experience, Pete, when you came to Catalina, that's been biting. We've only had one trip. We haven't caught them, and we've been running pretty much every day.
Wow, sweet. No kidding.
So, yeah,
it's been consistent fishing.
Yeah, a beautiful grade of fish, and it's winter fishing. It's just
nice weather.
It's gorgeous. I popped onto that windy this morning before I came down, and the long-range forecast is just less than 10 knots for what looks like eternity. So
yeah.
I think if we can get a little bit more high pressure and, you know, air temperatures up into the 70s, we'll start seeing more and more sea bass, and we're going to have a classic winter here.
Yeah.
I
like it. So tell us about what you do. I mean, you have a whole staff.
Yeah. We're running a 23 and a 28 Parker right now. I bought another one to add to the fleet. That'll start running in April, but for right now, it's the two boats. And, you know, we focus with Bite Sport Fishing, we focus on small boat charter fishing and really trying to create an experience for people that matches their narrative of what they want to do. So when people book trips that haven't been with us and they, you know, have the laundry list of questions, I say we don't really have any rules. These are how we usually run our trips, but we can make anything happen. And like we've talked about before, and you guys have experience, we do all sorts of stuff, multi-days, go to Catalina, whatever works for people.
Yeah, and some of those Catalina trips are fun, too. You can stay on the island to go eat your lobster that you caught.
Yeah, Jake did that a couple nights ago. They went over. They had great lobster fishing. Guys got off the boat. They stayed at the cottage that we get from the Seacrest there and left in the morning and had a couple nice big yellows.
That's so cool. Yeah.
That's a fun trip.
It's a fun trip. I mean, if I had my choice to fish in January or February right now or March or April, I'd probably pick right now because the weather's so nice.
Weather.
You're not threading the needle with wind like you can so often in California. Mm-hmm. It's just people's brains aren't plumbed around fishing here in winter because they're thinking about skiing and it's the tail end of hunting season and such. But this is a really special time to fish in California, and it's really neat to get the best of it.
Yeah. That's rad.
And what's the key right now is squid, right?
Squid is huge. Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. We had an open party trip today, so you're talking to four different people. And a little sidebar, what I like the most about this kind of business and enterprise is I like people, and I like to see how different people are coming from different places and what their kind of like viewpoints are. So you talk to four people, and they all have a totally different outlook on tackle and what to bring, right? And some people want to bring five rods and bring everything. Other people are like, oh, that's great. You provide everything. We can use your gear, you know what I mean? So right now it's getting down towards the bottom, fishing a dropper loop, a jigging squid, a heavy slider, a heavy lead head, and that squid. You got to have that squid.
Got to have that squid.
Yeah. So
and so it's been relatively easy to obtain at this point?
I feel like squid's always kind of a hustle and shuffle, and I kind of feel like my life revolves around ink half the time.
Yeah.
But for the next few days, we're tanked up, and we have bait, and we've been able to get it. And we take really good care of our frozen bait and go through a little process to make it so it pretty much looks pretty close to fresh dead when you pull it out, and that's been working fine as well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's just nice to have squid on the boat.
Doesn't have to be live.
It doesn't, but it's when a guy pays good money to come out, he wants to look down on those tanks and see some stuff squirting around, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then let's talk about what happens after the spring. We're talking about bluefin.
Yeah, yeah. So, lobster ends on the 17th for us. We're going to kick out for a week and do a crew trip. I'm going to take the crew to Louisiana. They worked hard the last year and
try to
do something fun. You know, if we run more than 400 days a year, 400 trips for the year, I'm trying to do something out of the ordinary and, you know, not just go to Mexico or something like that. So that'll be a fun trip, do something different. And it's really cool to check out other people's operations because the way you kind of learn is looking at other people that are successful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's hard to learn around here because everyone's doing the same thing. So we'll do that, and then our sea bass goes until whenever sea bass goes. Last year we cut it short because the bluefin started biting so good in mid-May. I've fished sea bass before all the way into August in the cold water years when we didn't have the bluefin, and last year we started it early. So in the spring we'll have one boat here at Fisherman's, and then we'll have two boats doing sea bass, or maybe two boats doing bluefin and one doing sea bass, just depending on what people want to do. And
what do people want to do? What is the kind of the high demand?
Yeah, I was going to say
people inherently love offshore fishing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love offshore fishing, and that bluefin's an incredible thing, and it's neat that it's in our backyard. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for anchor fishing. I think it's a real pure style of fishing and very different, you know? So different people are coming from different narratives. And also in the last 5 years, we've had a whole new crop of anglers who really don't even have never fished for white sea bass. People own their own boats who have never really anchored before. So for those people, they want to do the bluefin. Then they come with us a couple times. They're like, what is this? What's this sea bass thing, you know? So people want to fish for sea bass, definitely, right now. And the interest for bluefin is always high. And we book a couple of those trips every week without even really trying for the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I never, not to go on and on about it, but, you know, the first time I went in the tuna club and I looked around and I saw these 200-pound bluefin on the walls, I never thought that would happen here.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty special thing. The fishery has changed so much. The first few years I ran, we would run 3 to 12 miles. If we went to Catalina and fished the East End, that was like, whoa, we're going for it today. There's nothing biting local. We got to go far. And I did the loose numbers last year, that bluefin was off the island so much, the average run was over 70 miles. So
Each way.
So our fisheries really changed a lot in terms of distance, and the example I always look at is Louisiana. You know, they run 70 to 120 miles a day. I've talked to you guys about this. big runs, big fish, race to get out there, race to get it in. And we'll see what happens with the bluefin this year. But I think this is something that's kind of here to stay. And you can't worry about, like, what's not going to happen. Is it going to happen? You have to react to what's going on in real time. So, yeah, the bluefin interest is always high. It's a great fish. And
but sea bass is like, man, that's kind of been your bread and butter for many, many years, and you're good at it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm learning a lot, but I've learned enough that I have enough confidence in that fish to know where you got to be certain times a year and based on current and just all that other stuff. So, yeah, that's my thing.
I
love that, and I love those great big giant ones. And we played cat and mouse with what I know was the same school of fish for 4 years. It would show up at the same time in different locations or whatever. And it's kind of cool. It's like a big game hunting type thing.
Holy, that's exactly what it is.
One of my friends, who's a really good sea bass fisherman, put it perfect. He's like, offshore and tuna, people love that because it's so visual and you can see it and the fish and the turns and all that other stuff.
Yes.
It's whoa. Sea bass is everything is below the surface. Current, water conditions, bait, everything. So all your hunting stuff is below the surface. So as an operator, it's two very, very different fish and it doesn't resonate with everybody.
Yeah, you have to be dedicated to sea bass.
Yeah, you have to have a soft spot for that fish. And sea bass, if a guy comes out the first time and he gets them, he comes out every year. He's done.
You get 50-pound white sea bass. That's wow.
But if someone comes out and they don't get them, and you're going to get skunked a lot with sea bass. And everything we do, swordfish, all of it. It's just part of it. If he doesn't get it and he's the first time, you probably don't see him again. Which is too bad because it's kind of like Stu Younger, the great poker player, said, we could have lost the greatest poker player of all time because he came in and lost 3 buy-ins the first time. Same thing with fishing,
right?
There's a lot of great customers that you lost because the first time they didn't connect, and people are results oriented and they want to get them the first time. And that's okay.
So talk about your other captains, Ed, because you have like 3 A-team guys.
I was going to say, and how did you pull that off?
That's the hardest part, is coming up with good captains and kind of going from a job to a business to an enterprise. I have 3 guys that I work with now.
Three? Okay.
Jake is new. Jake is great. He worked on the Pacific Dawn. He ran boats up in Ventura. He's in his early 20s. His dad's a largemouth bass guide. So he just has this really unique strand of DNA where he's really patient with people, an excellent fisherman, is really just the total package, you know?
Yeah, and super nice, cordial fellow.
Jake spent a lot of time in San Diego, so that's what we got to see him in the tackle store, and just you hear nothing but compliments and just everybody. Everybody really likes
him. He's the only one of us who hasn't got a complaint yet. And Wes has been, this is Wes's 5th season.
Yeah, Wes kills it.
Wes is great. Wes, I can't say enough positive things about him. I've watched him grow as a fisherman and a person. And, you know, he ran 190-something days the other year. And a lot of people like to throw numbers around, but it's really hard to run 200 days a year. And he's a worker, and he's just an exceptional fisherman overall. He's great at all of it. And, he's very competitive, and nothing makes me feel better than when he, like, smokes me or gets on a fresh school or something.
Right.
He's great. And I have Dylan. I grew up with Dylan. I worked with him on The Producer in the mid-90s. If you ever went on The Producer, there was a time when there was kind of like the 3 or 4 overnight boats, and The Producer ran the most of anyone. I think that's Ray Sobiak. Andy was a little bit of a psychopath. I love him. He was great. He's like a dad, and he taught me a lot.
Fisherman.
Great fisherman, total hothead, and he... As I've gotten older in life, I see the influence that he's had on me more and more. One of it is the most important thing to him was to run the most. You know, like if Buzz was running more, this isn't going to happen. You know what I mean? I'll stay late. I'll do whatever it is. We'll take the people to fuel. We're fishing an extra hour because that's when it was all fish counts. No internet, come down. People would literally look at the board at the 3 landings like, oh, the producer had 50 albacore, not 27. Go with that. So I worked with Dylan in the mid-90s, so we have this, like, classic dialogue of, like, Ray quotes and these stories.
Cool.
We both left and worked on the first string when that boat came down here. We traveled around the world together. He lived on my dorm room floor in Australia for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And as an only child, he's like a brother to me. And growing up, people would be like, is that your brother? Are you guys brothers? So he moved back to Point Loma 2 years ago, so I have him for running the boats down here.
Nice.
That's great.
So it's a great, great, great team, and it's difficult to find this because it's a very demanding job, and it's very difficult than your traditional fishing job. And I definitely ask a lot from the guys in terms of hours and front end back end work and catch this squid and get this lobster bait and all this types of stuff. So, I'm happy with them. And my job and my goal is I love running the boat. And so I have my regulars and I spliced a few new people in last year. I like doing other things and being more involved on the business end of things. That's what gives me the most satisfaction right now.
Well, and then you have this other business.
There's a dangler called the Bite.
Journal, right?
Yep.
And that is just an amazing, amazing magazine. This past issue, the article on Jack Soles prompted us to have Jack on the show.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. And then Brian Kiyohara and on all the other features. How do you find this incredible stuff?
Well, Hewlett has been a great mentor for me.
Scott Hewlett.
Yeah, he's the editor for Surfer's Journal. He is still a consultant for them, and he doesn't edit as much as he writes, but his fingerprint's very much on TSJ still. He's been a great mentor for me, so he's taught me a lot about magazining. He's taught me a lot about myself, and he has a lot of good ideas, and we're a good team, and we kind of spitball things off of each other and ideas. I'm going to go to Mexico with him next week and don't even have this is the story we're going to do. We're just whatever kind of organically happens.
Just go for it.
And ideas, there's a lot of untapped stuff in the fishing landscape, and as soon as you're about the reader more than the advertiser and you're creating a content-driven package, you can kind of do whatever you want. So that's how I do it, and I just think of, outside-the-box stuff. What I really do is try to create a magazine for, people who run boats, grew up fishing, and are, real hardcore fishing, what they always wanted in a fishing magazine.
Like the real deal stuff.
Yeah. And
real stories.
And people say print is dead, and I really, part of me believes in that too. But if you're a really good content-driven magazine like the Surfer's Journal or the New Yorker, your subscription's growing, especially right now with COVID. Mm-hmm. Your subscription's going up.
Yeah.
The reason other magazines fail is just because they're crappy magazines.
Yeah.
They're poorly written, and they're not thinking about the reader and who wants to read this. They're thinking about greasing the people who bought the ads and the pages. Right. That's a fact.
Right. Bite comes out in unconventional timelines and things like that, and no one cares. You know what I mean? Obviously everybody wants it because it's such great content, but nobody is upset because it didn't come out on a Thursday instead of this day.
Yeah.
It's just a perpetual looking forward to the next one.
I get a little bit of pushback on that, and I understand because people don't always get how it is, you know? So I do I've been doing the one a year as an annual, and it just kind of comes out when it comes out. And you're totally right.
Cool.
The people who subscribe to it are on board to it.
Yeah.
But if you're used to getting something on a set day, it's probably not for them.
I think
you're
people totally just like the idea that it's going to come out when it comes out because it's going to be perfect every time.
Right.
Instead of we had to race to get this in for this quarter. That's just not what's behind it. It's just the best articles and photography and whatever else, and that's going to happen when it happens.
I like it like that too, with the kind of cultish type following. My plan for the Bite, this is the seventh issue that I've done. I want to do two more in this kind of traditional, bookazine-style packaging. And then I really want to high-grade it even more, get away from a subscription model and make it more like a pre-order, special-type book almost. And when they come out, there'll be, a release with, a party and the whole thing.
Ah.
That's what I want to do moving forward for the next 10 years with it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. We haven't even ventured into sea bass and bluefin and lobsters and yellowtail and all that stuff. Got a lot to talk about here.
No doubt. So much great information with Brandon here. Such a great time and so much great info with you. And we want to hear from you. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. And in addition to that, send us a text. The Let's Talk Hookup app is your only source to do that. It's a free download, very easy way to join the show, participate with the show. You can call us via the app, and now you can text us. Just send us a question. Let us know where you're from and what you want to ask of Brandon. And unfortunately, we aren't able to. The text thing has become so popular that we're no longer able to read them all on the air. There's been so many great ones, but we always enjoy picking them, and we certainly appreciate everybody's participation. It's a lot of fun, and if you want to send us a text, do that through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And for everybody that calls today, boy, do we have a great prize for you. At the end of the show today, one lucky caller is going to win a full assortment of Seaguar Fluorocarbon. This includes the gold label, the pink, and the Fluoro Premier. It's a great package from our friends at Seaguar and a really cool kit of fluorocarbon. Again, that's for one lucky caller at the end of the show today, 213-4. 832-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
It's a fact of life in Southern California, hard water. And if you have a pool, your tile shows it. Here comes San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning to the rescue. With their specialized equipment, SD Pool Tile Cleaning can safely remove the stubborn calcium deposits most pool owners struggle with. SD Pool Tile Cleaning can make your tile look bright and clean, almost like new again. High-pressure pool maintenance cleaning can damage grout, stone, and dislodge tiles. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning uses a low-pressure media blasting technique to protect your pool surface from damage and yield fantastic results. So stop making excuses for your stained tiles on your pool. Make them look like new again with San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check their website at sdpooltilecleaning.com and let their professional staff rejuvenate your pool tile. When it comes to professional swimming pool tile cleaning service, there's only one name you can trust. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check sdpooltilecleaning.com.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Henry David Thoreau said, "Many men go fishing all their lives without knowing that it's not the fish they are after." Let me tell you, it's been one wild year, but one thing that still rings true is how nice it is to get out on the water. And at Fast Lane Kayaking, we have the tools to do it. Catch fish and social distance on the super stable and fully loaded fishing machine, the Hobie Pro Angler, now available with the Mirage Drive 360. Or explore our beautiful coastlines, bays, and lakes in comfort on a Hobie Compass or Passport. Or load up the car and hit the road with the inflatable Hobie I-11S and kayak the stunning lakes in Eastern Sierra or wherever you can dream of. The Fast Lane team cannot begin to tell you how much we appreciate your business over the last 41 years. We are family owned and operated and always have been. And we're here to help you get on the water and spread the stoke. Check out our website at fastlanekayaking.com or stop by the shop in Dana Landing Marina, right on the water in Mission Bay. Let's get out and make some memories.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. No surprise, phone lines are packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Brandon. If you want to get your shot, talk to Captain Brandon Hayward and be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning. 213 area code 432-1090.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. Why don't we start it off this morning with Hills, who's calling us from Ventura this morning. What's up, Hills? Welcome to the show.
Woohoo! I'm listening, fishing here at the beach, and Brandon said in his preamble that fishermen are results oriented, you know, and I've been with Brandon's operation, I think three or four times, and he never lost me based on results.
I'm still
trying.
I had
so much fun. I would say Jake's my favorite because he got us at 215 last summer, bluefin, and he's from Ventura. So,
perfect.
And a super nice guy.
Oh my God, he's
like
so
Brandon
cool.
Said,
and
he's
you
the only
know,
guy that doesn't he doesn't get complaints about, right?
Well, yeah, and friends of mine are like, oh yeah, you know who his dad is, and I had no idea. And then, but he's so humble. And it's just so chill. And my one buddy that was with us on that trip we were like glued to the deck because, you know, those boats are stiff, man. When you're going 30, you can't stand up. So my buddy Chava and I are laying on the deck in the bean bags, and we broke them, and the little beads are coming out. And then my other buddy Alex is in the cabin talking story with Jake, and I could kind of overhear it. And I mean, the camaraderie and the results and taking good care of the fish.
So you're going back.
Oh, man, am I ever going back. Yeah, no, I mean, I can't wait, Brandon.
All right. Hills, don't change, dude. Keep doing what you're doing.
Cool. Thanks a lot for the call, Hills. Appreciate that very much. Hey, a fun text here. Just picked up a bite journal in my local shop, Epic. What does Brandon do to keep his frozen squid nice? And that's Rick in Ventura.
Yeah, no problem.
So we're staying up in Ventura today.
Yeah, there's two ways to do the frozen squid. Some people like to kill it and get all the ink out of it and bag it dead, so it's kind of like white and translucent when you put in there. I like to do the opposite. So I try to keep the squid as live as long as I can before I put it in the freezer. And I bag it up alive, brick red, squirting ink, and I double or triple bag it because they bite through the bag a little bit, and I freeze it in its own ink like that. As soon as I bag it up like that, I immediately put it into like a slurry. If it's not going directly into the freezer, I put it right into a slurry in a Yeti cooler with rock salt, ice, preferably like snow style crust ice.
Bring it as cold as possible.
Curious thing with a high quality cooler, you can do like 4 or 5 inches of ice. Rock salt, squid, ice on top of it, rock salt, squid, and layer it like that. Close the lid, and it'll be frozen like ice cream. So if, let's say, I got squid on Wednesday from G-Paul, I'd be more worried about taking care of that bait and, like, semi-freezing it like that to keep us going for 4 or 5 days than the live, because it works just as good.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I put it in the bag, still pumping, and I squish it down so it's just like two layers of squid each. There's probably only 100 baits in each bag, but that, due to less volume, it's going to freeze a lot faster. And now also you don't have to pull out this giant 10-pound block to go fishing with. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just freeze up these little like kilo-style blocks, and it works out great.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I mean, because that fishery is just something that I've got so little time with, but, you know, I always heard, you know, oh, you got to get all the ink out of them before you put them in the bag, and that was always a thing. I'm intrigued by that.
But that's not natural, is it?
As long as you freeze it up super fast, you're good. Yeah, that's cool. When you pull it out, the squid will still be brick red and various colors, and it's in its own ink. It still has that
looking
slime.
Looking real natural.
Looks great. Works good for yellowtail still. Yeah.
And what a difference that product is versus the tray of squid that you buy at any tackle store, certainly including ours. You know, like, it's just the difference between that product and what you're doing is just, it is 100% night and day.
The tray bait will work bait for bass or strip it out, or, you know, if it's just ripper sea bass fishing and the water's 64 degrees and they're going crazy, then whatever, you know what I mean? But overall, it's nice, and it's a nice package, yeah.
That's cool.
All right, let's jump back in those phones.
You got it, buddy. How about Armin calling us next from Seal Beach this morning? Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. Brandon, question for you. You said you were targeting those big schools, and you've been kind of playing that cat and mouse game with them for the past couple of years. So is it when you're going after these fish, are they all that big grade of fish? Or is it you get mixed fish in there, some of those smaller sublegal fish, and then you have to throw those back? Or I'm just kind of curious about that school, if you could elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, that big local sea bass, didn't catch them last year because we had that red tide in April, and then we didn't have a lot of kelp, and everything that could go against sea bass was, including really good bluefin fishing in May. That school of giant ones, I'd never caught one under 55 pounds out of it. I caught a 76-pounder out of it, an 82-pounder out of it, quite a few, you know, 6 or 7 70-pound fish. No small fish, all giant ones. They'd usually wash in the mid-spring, show up on whatever kelp line they're going to kind of stage in to spawn, and they would make 2 or 3 jumps before we would lose them. You know, usually once they get up to Palos Verdes, they end up shooting up north or wherever they go. So it was just kind of my life's work, or still will be this year, to hopefully get on them again and just figure out what kelp area they show up in and kind of fish them like that. But no, it's all big fish, no shorts. The local sea bass traditionally are really big. In fact, 2000, let's call it the years after we didn't have any more squid anymore. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. The smallest local sea bass I caught was 30 pounds.
The smallest.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the biggest?
That 82-pounder. It was 82 on a certified scale, no Salamitos. that we got tripled, and then we got that one, and I'd been catching these big ones up there. But the context of the 80 pounder next to what was like a 60 pounder made the 60 look like a big 40s. You know what I mean? And it was real stubby. You saw the fish. So I didn't believe it was that big. I thought it was like maybe 70. So when we weighed it, I was like, no way. And then we weighed it at other scales, and it would lose a pound or two. But that's also as the day kind of went on. So, yeah, that was the biggest one.
That's a big fish.
I did these posts the other day just kind of looking back at big sea bass we've caught, kind of humble bragging. But with some like backstory and some knowledge for someone who's going to try to pick a line or two out of there and do it on their own. We haven't caught the biggest bluefin that the business has caught. You know, they're getting bigger every year, and we will catch bigger bluefin. We haven't caught a bigger swordfish. I caught a 330 pounder myself. We've had customers get like 280s and 290s. We have not caught our biggest swordfish. Someone will catch a 400 pounder or something will happen, but we won't catch a bigger sea bass. That was the one.
That was the one.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
If I pursued records, Kathy would have every woman's line class record for white sea bass. That doesn't interest her, and it's not an interest to me, really. I'm not a record guy. I'm not a tournament person.
Right. But you like catching big ones.
I like catching big ones, and I like to catch fish the way that I like it.
Right.
I don't need to go on about that, but that doesn't align with like tournament fishing or certain other styles of fishing. But the sea bass, that would have been the state record, but he didn't pursue it, and I was just like, we caught it the biggest one, whatever.
Yeah, and the sea bass thing is
on the
like,
deck.
Yeah.
You got to put your time in on a sea bass.
You got to put your time in, but you can get super lucky and be like, look, there's three boats over there, and anchor up on them and catch a huge fish, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But or you get a call from Brandon and say, get up here now, and then come and
I'd like,
just put your line in the water.
I wish I could give those calls more. I wish that was happening more. But yeah, you got to put in a lot of time. You have to want it. But there's also, it's like every fish, too, when they get stupid, it's just a lay down as well.
There's a period of time at some time in the season where sea bass go stupid.
Totally.
And you want to be there when that happens because it's pretty wild.
They would go stupid every day in April or May if you had 63 to 65 degree water and smoking downhill current on the east end or raging uphill current on the west end. If you had those two things, you would catch them every day. You're just so shackled by Mother Nature and conditions.
Yeah.
That's how that fish is if you're not fishing a squid area. The 2010 to 2014, that was one of the five styles of sea bass fishing. You know what I mean? The other four really revolve around out of like currents and structure and that type of stuff. Yeah.
On a personal level, would you, if you had, you know, if you could shake the crystal ball and go either way, would you drive to a squid bed where you knew there was going to be 20 other boats, but probably catch them every day, or go to fish some kelp line where you're going to have to work a whole lot harder, but you're by yourself? And you're going to, you know what I mean?
Am I fishing for my own, for fun, or am I taking customers? Which, what is it?
How about for your
fun? For myself, the kelp line all the way. For customers, I want to do whatever works best for them and create a good experience. So if it's laid down bait grounds fishing, that was the best.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. But for myself, the most satisfaction I can get out of fishing is being on the east end of the island and like the current changes from how it was and racing 13 to 15 miles up, moving, and then like, getting tight on the anchor and hooking to, that to me is the ultimate in fishing.
That's the win.
Sure.
That's cool. Well, we had a great text come through. This one is, good morning. If you get a chance to fish with Brandon, do it. I feel like I got a real schooling on bait fishing. Can you go over how you like to fish the sardine, and do you like J-hooks versus circle hooks? Thanks and stay well, Scott from El Segundo.
Well, that's a great question. I fish with Scott on the Royal Star. We do a bite-sponsored trip in October, go to Guadalupe, which
is already full, I believe, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Better be. I don't do as much fly line sardine fishing as I used to, especially when I used to actually like be a long-range guy. But my outlook on live bait fishing, especially from the deck of a sport boat, so we'll kind of construe it to that, is you have to look at the other 24 anglers as competition, not as competition in terms of who catches the most fish, although you can do that. But you're in the water against 20-plus other baits, and so all the small things are going to help you. A long cast, that type of stuff. So my default line on fly line sardine fishing is picking a good bait, and I usually shoulder hook it because the hook's kind of hidden and they swim really well. But just that nice little cast and just that extra 10 feet of cast and letting the bait get a little bit of line. And not over-soaking a bait. There's only so much time for everything in life, including your bait. And if it's not good right out of the gates, I just give up on it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm real apt to just, like, do small little things to get incremental little edges. So if everyone else is using 60, maybe I'll use 50. If everyone's using a 1-0 hook, maybe I'll use a 1. maybe a little bit longer leader or shorter leader, depending on what the fish are doing. So kind of basic stuff that's been gone over quite a bit, but there's the little things that make a difference. The little things don't really come with tackle purchases. It comes with time on the water and just, like, being comfortable with the gear.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Yeah, awesome. Hey, with that, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It's time to head to the Baja with the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. This catch report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, now with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burger. Also, that amazing poke kit. Call for details or order online at Fisherman'sProcessing.com. And let's talk to the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. Buenos dias, cast man.
Hey, buenos dias, Ricky, Pete, Brandon.
Good morning.
Cast man.
Hey, by the way, I was going to say that Bite magazine he puts out every year, it's fantastic. I've been fortunate to read a couple of them. And in fact, I just heard the new one's out, so I'm going to go down and get one. But
thanks
great
for that.
Book.
Cass, can you splice this into your report? When somebody calls you and they say, my goal is to catch a big rooster fish, what do you tell them?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's East Cape in those months of late June, July.
June.
Even August. La Paz, the same thing. That's a good area. All that beach from La Paz all the way south to San Jose del Cabo is probably one of the most productive big fish rooster fisheries around. It's just a great area and really good chances to get, you know, that those 40, 50, 60, 70 pound roosters. I know that a few summers back we were down at East Cape, and the biggest I think that we caught there was just south of Cabo Fumo, stretch of beach there that we both picked up two that were 75 and 80.
It's
probably the best time if you want to target roosters. Cape, San Jose del Cabo, La Paz there around Las Arenas area are the best.
Okay.
Anyway, the report, got a fresh report from Bob Lewis, Baja Bob, down there at La Playita, there in San Jose del Cabo. He said they had a good week this week with fishing. They were fishing up at the Iman, and those banks are up just north of the Punta Gordo in the Sea of Cortez. He says, you got to play the wind, though, because, you know, this is the north wind time of year. He says, but get out early, and usually you can get in about five hours of fishing before the wind starts to knock you off the water and head on back. But he said they were at the Iman, they were getting some fairly good-sized tuna, you know, 70, 80 pound fish. Dorado is still biting. They've been pretty good this past week. And, of course, they're targeting the bottom fish, the red snapper right now, and which, you know, when you see in the seafood restaurants there in Mexico, the huachinango, really, really good eating fish. And so it's a good time of year to be down there, and I'm glad to hear that the fish decided to go on the chew this week. And, of course, now we've got, you know, a little less tourism now down there just due to the fact that they're requiring that you have a positive COVID test before you return to any U.S. passport, any U.S. airport, 3 days before you return. And most of the hotels down there are given the test free, which is good. And if you happen to test positive, some of the hotels we're dealing with will give you 14 days stay, quarantine, gratis. I mean, freebie. So,
wow.
I might want to fake a test.
Yeah. Are you sure it's negative? Come on.
Yeah.
If I throw you a couple bucks, can you get me positive here? What's going on?
Yeah, cool. Exactly. But anyway, Pete, you know, I'm still in awe of the fishing trip we had at Lake El Salto fishing those largemouth bass there last week. And I checked with the lodge that they do have March 10 to 15 available. Anybody wants to go down there, we'll put a group together. I've got a couple signed up already. I want to go. And
yeah, you're working on a group, and it would be 10 to 15. It's a Thursday through Sunday, right?
Right, Thursday through Monday.
Through Monday, okay. And it's it's the same package. And what a great time of the year, mid before Easter and the craziness of the Easter break and such like that. And like you said, this is – I was lunch with Steve Pinard the other day and John Ireland, and we were talking about, Steve was talking about how this is like a once-in-a-lifetime chance to fish this lake with very little pressure, and that's the whole key. It's had virtually no pressure because of COVID, and it's an opportunity of a lifetime to fish one of the most incredible lakes in the world with one of the largest populations of big largemouth to get in there and get it. So this here's another chance. Castman's put together another chance for people to go.
Yeah, so it'll be, you know, and probably the best way right now is to fly out of CBX Tijuana. You don't have to do the COVID test there, come on the return, so because you're walking across. And so anybody wants to join that trip or our Wahoo Rumble coming up in May. God, we got a good turnout, Pete. We're over 20 rooms now.
Sweet.
And, yeah, and that's going to be May 2 to 6. And then, you know, of course, our other trips that we do. Give me a call at 800-593-6510 or on the web at www.caststewards.com, and I'll talk to you gentlemen next week.
Man, great job, Cass. Great report. Look forward to that, and we will look forward to talk to you next week.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, Cass, man.
Appreciate it, buddy. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More phone calls, more great texts. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hey, it's time to talk about great stuff from Shimano and NER. I was just talking about Brandon's favorite sea bass reel, Trinidad.
I'd take that Trinidad 16. If they're the big local fish, probably a 20 for added line capacity. But
yeah,
for that winter style fishing we're doing right now, leadhead and squid, long cast, it's nice to pop the bait around, pop in and out of gear with a star drag style reel.
And he got a reel that's sizable and makes big drag and big power, but free spool so amazing that you can cast something like a squid and a leadhead and an
totally
egg sinker. And, you know, yeah, try doing that with a big heavy reel. It just doesn't work like a Trinidad does.
Yeah, and if that Trinidad 16 is such a perfect reel. You put the right line on there. What pound test do you fish?
I like to use 50-pound Power Pro for that and a little piece of Seaguar, like 4 or 5 feet of Seaguar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's plenty of capacity and plenty of power if you hook up an 80-pounder, right?
And you don't have to get it serviced mid-season because those reels go forever. That's what I really care about.
That's the key is those, the Trinidads and the entire line of Shimano reels are built to last. I mean, I have reels that I've been fishing year in and year out. And they say you should service that reel. It's like, well,
why?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Service. But anyway, Shimano Trinidad, it is. You want to catch big sea bass, that's the really
that's
one.
That's it.
It's Yamaha's The Power of Reliability sales event. For a limited time, eligible select new 2.5 to 350 horsepower four-strokes come with up to $1,500 in dealer credit or 2 years of Yamaha extended warranty protection. Yamaha. Reliability starts here.
Offering March 2nd, 2021. Subject change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service contract added to Yamaha factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Don't give up on finicky fish and light bites. The secret to getting more bites is thinner leader for more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label Leader Material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tensile strength, this advanced leader material has been proven all season long on finicky tuna as big as 100 pounds on 40-pound tests. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com. We'll be right back.
When you want dependable service for your outboard or a great new offshore fishing boat, your first choice should be H&H Marine in Pacific Beach. Check out their lineup of Defiance boats, perfect for the SoCal angler. When your outboard is ready for service, Jeff and his crew will service your motors at their convenient Garnet Avenue shop, in your boat slip, or at your home. As a factory-authorized Yamaha service center, when Jeff takes the job, it's done right. H&H Marine is also your source for new Yamaha and Mercury outboards, as well as original parts. H&H Marine has Blue Water Bait Tank, boat sales, and expert installation. Come check out the ultimate sports fishing machine, Defiance, including the popular Admiral 220. For outboard service when and where you want it, outboard sales, Defiance fishing boats, and bait tank systems, check out H&H Marine, 2680 Garnet Avenue in Pacific Beach. On the web at hnhmarineservice.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Having a great time this morning. Phones are still absolutely packed solid. If you want to get your chance, it's 213-432-1090.
All right, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. Terry in Allied Gardens been hanging in there with us this morning. Terry, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, morning there, gentlemen. Hey, Brandon, I do have a complaint against Jake. We caught our limit in less than two poles.
Sweet.
We caught our limit in less than two poles.
Yeah. But anyway... He drug you by your hair up to try to make squid, so he made up for that, didn't he?
Right, exactly. Yeah. took my two daughters on a lobster trip, and they had a blast. They can't stop talking about it, Brandon.
Well, that's what's nice about lobster. Anyone can do it. It's a great experience, and every time it's great for everybody. So, no, it's wonderful. That's a lifelong memory, and the backdrop of Catalina. I know you've done it with us in various other spots, too, but... Nothing approaches the experience in the backdrop of Catalina and just like the smell of mesquite coming off the island in the evening. Yeah. It's really special. So, yeah, we love getting you out, and I'm so happy you got to experience it with them.
Right, and I just want to thank you, and I plan on doing it some more, and I'll get off of here and let some others ask you a lot of good questions.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Okay, nice text here. Okay, appreciate it. I've done three trips with Bite, two charters with Jake's, and he just kills it. He has so much patience. My 16-year-old just talked his head off on two trips, and Jake just rolls with it. And Wes, what a guy. He's just hardcore. Looking forward to tomorrow's open party trip. I don't know who that is because he didn't leave his name. Please leave your name.
I know who it is.
You probably know it.
Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah. We'll keep him anonymous. Well, thanks for that. That
sums it up right there.
That's right.
Totally sums it up.
Yeah.
Sums it up.
I mean...
This is the thing with all fishing. You can be like, you can get away with a lot more when you catch a lot of fish. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, and
we
don't need
to
name.
But you have to put in the effort, right?
No, you totally have to put in the effort. But like the gnarliest open party overnight skippers weren't known for being like bastions of purity and being super nice. People don't care. They want to go out there and just destroy fish. Yeah. You know what I mean? So as long as you get bit, that's fine. But if you don't get bit and it's tough and you're a little edgy, now it's a problem.
Then the phone call.
Right. So and it's a good blend. And Jake definitely has it more so than me.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Absolutely. And he had high kudos for Wes too. So
totally, he had a great trip.
Two main men.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's
right. Let's
go jump back into it. Rick.
You got it, man. Well, the phones are still solid. Don in Woodland Hills is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Brandon.
Crew is
always the best, Brandon. You always have great people.
Well, I appreciate that.
Hey, Brandon, a question for you on the big bluefin. I know a lot of your fishing is done with a kite. Do you do anything with live bait or flat falls? And if you do the flat falls, do you have any special way you rig them?
Yeah, I just go into the tackle shop, and however Rick and the guys say is the best way to do it, and I think lately that's just with a couple big hooks on the tail end. So we use that. And we do use live bait for bluefin. Pre-flying fish era, I was really into using the double treble mackerel, and that still has its time and place, especially on big kind of cauldron-y style foamers. You don't have to use the flying fish. And I love fishing bait for them. The problem is they don't bite it that great, and it seems like in the fall you can kind of get your shots on fly line live bait. Really curious thing last year when I brought the boat down from Oceanside and I fished bluefin on the way, like the first trip, it was meter mark fishing, no visual fish. Remember that?
I do.
It was all visual, which in a small boat comes with its challenges because you just have an up and down, so you just got to kind of like calm your anxiety and be willing to drive around for 3 hours if that's what it takes to find an up and down mark and then just hemorrhage bait. But in May, they were biting the fly line sardine, and I was like, this is great. This is going to be the year where it's all fly line fishing, and then that was kind of that until the fall. So they have its time, and, you know, you can bring bait and throw it, and they'll boil on it real good, but it's hard to hook them on it. And the big thing right now is the grade of fish is so incredible. I don't know if I want to hook that fish on 60 or 80 pound. You know what I mean?
Boy, that was the thing I was reserving to say. And you nailed it. Just that. Like, could you get them to eat a sardine? Probably. At some point, are they going to eat it as good? No. But the beauty of that kite gear is you're hooking them on gear that you want to wind them in on.
Yep.
That's not an easy task to do with a Talica 16. I mean, that's a lot of fish for that reel.
Totally.
So do you always take bait when you're on a bluefin trip?
No, I only bring it if we have to bring it.
If it's necessary.
The first few years when it was yummy flyer fishing, every trip I would jig mackerel. When I got meter marks, I would chum live mackerel. And when we got bit on the yummy, I would slide a mackerel back out on the kite. And I'd let guys fly line it because keep them active or whatever. On those trips, I would bring bait. And we'll bring sardine when it's biting it. But most of the time, it just kind of isn't, you know. And it also depends on the group dynamics of the trip and an open party. And do you have two people or four people? Because the worst thing you can do on an open party is get tied up on a popper fly line bait while the other three guys watch. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of other dynamics. So I'm down for the bait. I've talked about this rules thing before. I don't have any rules. My only rule is, like, whatever the fish are doing, and don't let previous successes shackle me to doing something else. You know what I mean? So,
that's an important statement right there. Totally. Because everybody goes, well, I'm going to go catch a sea bass in this spot I caught it 4 years ago, right?
See it all the time.
Doesn't work that way.
And I caught my biggest one ever on a Tatty TLC and a Swinit. I'm only fishing that. It's like, well, that's great, but the water's 67. They're on the surface. You have to fly line. I'm still going to use it. That's how they bite.
When I went with Wes, we went all the way to Clemente, and now we're on the 43, man. If we would have just gone farther like he did last time, we would have caught them.
Totally. This is totally people's narratives, or they bite the next day. This is just something that you got to kind of be resilient and let it kink your armor a little bit.
Right.
So that's a great question, Don. We
do they call that armchair quarterbacks?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah, but I know better. Yeah. So, I mean, let's be real.
What we have done is figured out more ways to get everyone actively fishing as we've kind of done more long-range type styles, whether that's getting a second kite up or a balloon, or there's other methods to kind of fish upswell and get everyone going.
Yeah.
And a sidebar, you know, when people call to book trips, they say, how many can you take? I said, well, we like to keep it to three on the 23, or, you know, but what's the most? For small boat charters, I think you don't want to take the most. You want to just maybe shave it down and take two or three guys, especially if you're going to go once or twice a year. Limited opportunities, I think that's really the best play.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning, Don.
All right, let's jump right back into him, and this time talk to John. He's calling us from Escondido. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, and that kudos to your staff for everything that they do. I'm up here in Santa Cruz working, and so I don't miss you one bit, and that's awesome. My question, Brandon, for you is because I fish down in San Diego. Not that I can't go to Long Beach and this and that, but when I look at the Fisherman Landing schedule, you're not always there and available. Now, is that just because you don't have trips booked and so you're not on their schedule, or is that just you're not going fishing that time because of the moon phase?
No, that's a great question. So we're always available for charter, and if you look up the charter boats on the landings webpage, you'll see us. The way that the system works is you only populate if you're offering an open party trip. That's why you'll never see, like, a charter boat up there on an available trip. So it's only open parties. And I like open parties because it introduces new people to the business. A common thing you hear with people is, like, I'm down to go and spend the money, but my friends don't want to. So it allows people to get out that are singles and such. And I love running through the landing down here because for many, many reasons, but it's great because the landing handles the bookings and I'm not doing those calls, which I can't always do in season. But you'll only see the boat up there if we're online for open party. So if it's August and we're all booked out and everything's full.
Oh, booked out with charters.
Yeah. What I did this year is I actually, a week ago, I made Wednesdays and Thursdays that we weren't booked already open party trips through the landing.
That's cool.
That's a great way to do it.
A lot of opportunity to go now.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I know people.
So you're not going to book a charter on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
On the Fisherman's Landing boat.
On the Fisherman's Landing boat.
Yeah. So, and that'll be great because anyone who's saying, hey, it's March, you know, I get 10 days of vacation or 15 days of vacation, I'm okay with blowtorching one of them on a Wednesday, they can plan now or book it or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And then when someone calls in the summer and says, you're full, why couldn't I get on? I can say, well, now we do it, so we put them all up there in February.
Nice.
The other thing I see in fishing, I talked about this when I was on last time, you know, the way that we operate in California is the fish start biting and the floodgates open and everything books. And in the summer, people say, this is why can't I get on the Pacific Queen? It's because it's the summer and you're trying to get on the Pacific
right.
Queen. And
yeah.
it's similar with a lot of operations. So when I posted my dates, I looked and all the boats that you would want to go on for the summer have their schedules up and you can kind of book now.
Right.
And I really feel you do better if you don't let the fishing from a week prior influence your decisions for the Saturday to come in 11 days. Just pick your couple days. Find times that work best for you and when you've caught fish and when you feel comfortable going. But if I was doing something different in life, that's what I would do with my couple, two or three trips that I did.
So do you have charter dates available?
Yeah. Well, I open the – on November 1st, we do first right of refusal. So anyone who comes out with us the previous year or years, they own that date. So if I still have people that for the last 10 years have always come on July 6th. So that's how we do the bookings. And it's really fair for the other people – and then whatever's left, new people get on. And, you know, between the what will be three boats this year, there's plenty of opportunity. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to ask if you've ever had your open party groups mesh super well together and then become a charter group.
Yeah, I call it bromance.
Yeah, right.
So people meet on the boat,
sure,
and then
sure.
They're like, let's charter it and do it together. And a lot of them go like, you know what, let's do it together. And you know, fishing's an expensive thing. Like, the only thing you can find that rivals fishing in terms of price is, like, skiing, probably, you know? But the people that look at it and are kind of bright often say, like, you know, if I own my own boat, I would be spending $400 a month for a slip and this. I'm going to go with you four times a year. And then they meet someone on an open party and they book three trips and they just split the boat, the two of them.
Yeah.
That's their big game fishing for the
and
year.
And way cheaper than owning your boat.
Yeah,
trust
cheaper
me.
Than owning your boat, cheaper than going to Nova Scotia. You can actually keep the bluefin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no denial. We say it every time you're on here. I still question how the expenses works out on your costs. I mean, there's so many things you don't think about when you're doing it on your own. The amount of fuel you're burning and the bait that you're spining and the tackle that you're providing and the slip rental and the maintenance. Like, I don't know how the profit turns because what you charge for a trip is what it costs
right.
every time, you
right.
know, like
I don't know either.
And you don't have a Jake behind the wheel.
Right.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to check in with the Catch Report, find out what's biting up and down the beach and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Bizzano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero is very family-oriented. People have brought their children down, and now they're bringing their children. It's not unusual to have three generations of family at the hotel. grandpa, dad, and normally sons, sometimes daughters. The families come back year after year, and it's a safe place for the kids. It's small, it's intimate, right on the water, 2 miles of beachfront. The water's very shallow in front. There's no currents to speak of, no waves. We have child care, $10 a day for a babysitter. Security is high at Rancho Lanero. It's really unnecessary, but it adds up comfort level. We really do encourage the families. It's a great place for family reunions, family get-togethers, weddings. We do it all. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLanero.com. There's nowhere that I could think of to have the same atmosphere and the same experience that you get at Rancho Lanero. We love families.
You're listening to a new generation of radio. SoCal Sports Talk. The all-new and mightier 1090 and the mightier 1090.com. Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag two-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2. The extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid Hagani body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at a more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and dependability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure Ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.